The movie Nicholas and Alexandra, based on Robert Massey's study of the end of the Romanov dynasty, contains this telling scene. The deposed Tsar and his family are prisoners. They're being transported into exile by train across wide snow-covered plains. And Nicholas II is standing with his guard out on the train's back platform. And the soldier turns to him and asks, "Nicholas, do you have any idea how the whiteness of that snow out there would look with all the blood that you have shed poured over it?" And Nicholas responds to the guard with a blank stare. And the guard looks at him for a long time in silence and finally says, "Now I understand, Nicholas. You are not an evil man. You simply have no imagination. And it is because of lack of imagination, the fact that sometimes it can lead to evil, that today's scripture readings try to fire up our imaginations." In the book of Daniel, our first reading, in glorious, dramatic images, the book presents the marvelous guardian archangel Michael, who protects the just. Here, next to the pulpit, is the image of the archangel Michael, my own personal namesake and patron, John Michael. This angel is this angel, a symbol of strength, something that I need very much. The image is centuries old. It's from a church outside of Mexico City, and I got it there a long, long time ago at an auction. The reading from Hebrews today shows Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, which is a way of saying it is a sign of equality with the Father. And Jesus is shown victorious over all our enemies, including death. And that is the panel of the risen Lord coming in glory in the back wall of our sanctuary. Jesus, whom we await at whatever time to recreate the heavens and the earth and us, and bring a new Jerusalem. The reading from the Gospel of Mark is an apocalyptic presentation of the gathering of the saved. Now, the words of the text that are so mysterious originally refer very simply to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The image words are traditional to that time, thousands of years ago. Apocalyptic describes a future event based on a people's present understanding of life. Apocalyptic is a kind of poetic writing that tries to extend the present into the future in the same way as films, movies like Close Encounters would tell us our technological future through film. Apocalyptic language is not literal. It's imaginative and metaphorical. We do not know the time of Jesus' second coming or how it will look. The gospel, rather, imaginatively tells us that the Son of Man will come in glory and that all of creation, all creation, the entire world, the entire cosmos, including all of us, will be involved and be made new again. Now, the stress on imagining the future might seem a little bit curious. In our American society, the future, we always think, is the province of science and not religion. We think that religion should keep us and help us live better in the present and not waste time in a future that hasn't, or as some would say, never will happen. But the fact is that we need to break out beyond scientific truth for the sake of our total beings as persons. Whenever we go on through life limiting ourselves to ideas and to concepts, then we cut off a part of ourselves. In fact, you might say that we sin against imagination whenever we ask an image for its meaning, whenever we require that images always be translated into concepts or ideas. We do not hear music or touch sculpture or read stories with meaning in mind, but for the sake of imagination. The words of our beautiful opening song this morning and the closing song after Mass demand imagination to help understand that when you see the light, you can walk in the darkness. It means that in addition to knowing our faith, we must learn how to imagine it more vividly. It's imagination that can move us to do something worthwhile, that can motivate us. And it is precisely that reason why the church uses so much poetry. All the Psalms are poetry, so much art and fantasy and fiction and myth to convey religious truth, knowing that it is conveyed more convincingly and more deeply than simply talking about dry doctrine. And that's why parents are encouraged to teach their children by telling them faith stories, stories of faith in their own lives. Why, as pastor, should open up my heart, difficult as it is, here in the pulpit, and tell you faith stories of my own life? It is difficult for parents or pastors, but that is the way we translate faith into flesh and blood. Jesus was imaginative and poetic. He always spoke in rich parables, stories, filled with earthy images. There simply was no other way for him to describe God except by using words that sing and pictures that dance. He would ask, "What is the kingdom of God like?" and immediately answer his own question with a new image. Jesus loved imagination, because he knew that people are able to see totally new things clearly when images show them that the future is beautiful and not terrifying. The words in Scripture today were terrifying, but they were written 2,000 years ago when they had a meaning totally different. Jesus is trying to give us hope. And that is why a living faith and a living imagination are so closely related in our lives. The believer who does not share Jesus' imagination is simply caught sometimes in a kind of dreary present. But the imaginative believer always can find new possibilities for faith to develop and love, because imagination always creates hope. And why? First, because imagination helps us to pray better. Here at Merrillhurst and in so many books and magazines today, we have workshops and other presentations about the bicameral brain. All of us have a brain with the left and right side. The right side of our brain is the source of our imaginative, creative, intuitive activities, which includes much of our prayer life. Our prayer life includes imagery, music, poetry, the Psalms, and from ancient days right up through St. Ignatius, we are always encouraged by the experts in prayer to have images, because that's why God gave us the imagination. And secondly, imagination can fire our faith so that we can enter into the condition of other people to identify with their needs, particularly when they have needs that we can't understand. It moves us to act and to serve them. He teaches us, as the Indian saying goes, to walk in our neighbor's shoes. It means that if we can learn to imagine a better world, then we will be motivated day by day to help build a better world, no matter what it is that we do for a living. Each of us has a part to play. Or thirdly, take an abstract doctrinal idea from the gospel, the church's teaching, that we find the spirit of the risen Christ in other people. That happens to be a common element in all of the stories of primitive society, that whenever a loving deed of service was done to a stranger who was welcomed into a home or a community as a friend, so often the stranger turned out to be the risen Christ or an angel who comes back to reward the giver. It is that spirit reflected in the ancient Gaelic Irish poem called A Ruin that goes like this. I saw a stranger last night, and I put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place, and music in the listening place. And I heard the lark sing in her song, often, often, often goes the risen Christ in the stranger's guise. And yet today our society is so filled with hostility. It is likely that if we heard a stranger last night, we would simply bolt to the doors. And yet no one is asking any one of us to live foolishly, but rather the living God continue to speak through the prophets and asking us bit by bit to build a new society where we can learn how to live together peacefully, where we might learn to see Christ in the stranger's guise. Because we can imagine a better world, we can build it. You are not an evil man, the guard told the Tsar. You simply have no imagination. And sometimes the lack of imagination can paralyze us. Without it, we are not completely free. We need imagination and faith to enter fully into this Eucharistic celebration and every prayer experience. This Eucharist is poetry, God's beauty given to us in human forms and human words. Imagine that.
Since there is no side two, please put this tape on rewind to prepare it for the next person listening. Thank you.